everyone, I'm Matt Dinsky, and welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin our content, I want to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head on over to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
God is not indifferent towards suffering on the earth. If you've ever prayed and cried out to God, and you're like, man, does he even care about my plight? Yes, he does. He is not indifferent to suffering. God is not careless about evil on this earth. God is not distant and absent from our present realities. God has a plan to actually redeem and heal and avenge the world that is broken and avenge evil and those who have suffered at the hands of evil. God does not delight in the reign or rule of evil powers on this earth. The judgment of God is good news in the sense that it shows us God is near, he cares, he's not indifferent. And he has a plan. Now, as we read the book of Revelation, this feeling starts to churn in our gut, and that feeling is fear, right? Like, whew, are these judgments going to be for me as well? Like many Christians, many people who follow the Lamb wonder this. Are these judgments going to be for me? Let me answer your question. No. The trumpets signify the judgments that are being poured out on those evil forces, powers, institutions, governments, individuals who are opposed to the coming kingdom of God. In fact, the trumpets are triggered because of the martyrs of Christ. We saw that in Revelation chapter 6. Chapter 8, verse 13, the woes are being poured out on those who dwell on the earth. Remember, that's John's way of saying earth dwellers are those who do not delight in the coming kingdom of heaven. Their kingdom is the earth. And then Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, the demons that are released from the pit are told, don't harm the grass or the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And so if you have been sealed with the blood of the Lamb, you're protected. These judgments are God's way of dealing with evil. Revelation 6 and 7 ended with the question, who can stand against these judgments? The answer is those who have been sealed with the blood of the Lamb. The judgments are not for us. It's towards evil and those who oppose God's coming kingdom. Second observation I want to give us about the trumpets is this, that the trumpets are an invitation. An invitation. Invitation towards what? The trumpets are an invitation into salvation. And it's like, what? I thought it was God's coming judgment. It is. It is. But judgment in the scriptures is hand in hand with salvation. The trumpets are God's invitation into his salvation. The trumpets are signaling the world to wake up. It's an alarm system. Something is coming, and we're experiencing a taste of it, but more is coming later. Wake up before it's too late. All throughout the Old Testament. Remember, John just assumes that we know our Old Testaments. Man, he pulls. He pulls from Genesis and Exodus. He's pulling from Joel. He's pulling from Daniel. He's pulling from 1 Kings, the example of Elijah. He's pulling from Haggai. He's pulling from Zechariah. Man, he's just pulling all over, but he doesn't let you know when it's happening. And here he's pulling the language Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, there's this clear passage of scripture about trumpets. And God gives insight into trumpets that they are actually meant to be a warning system for those who hear them to wake up. That if you see danger coming and the watchman blows the trumpet, it gives everyone else a chance to respond before the sword comes and destroys. The trumpets in the book of Revelation are an invitation. It's one more chance for people who hear the warnings to respond to the grace of God and find salvation in the blood of the Lamb. It's not too late. Remember, this is past, present, future tense, all right? Charlie had this wonderful observation last week where he said the book of Revelation can be interpreted by every generation for their present realities because it applies in that way. When John's writing this book, the presence of evil forces in the world took place primarily through the Roman Empire. For others, it has evolved since then. Will we hear literal trumpets? I don't know, but the signs will be there for us to see. They're already around us. And so these things are meant to prompt people to awaken to the coming of God's kingdom and respond before it's too late. It's an invitation to salvation. The trumpets are sounding to help us hear the alarm. They're saying to us, do not snooze. Do not press snooze on the alarm of God. Don't wait so late that you miss it by 15 minutes even. Don't assume you have more time. The trumpets are an invitation into salvation. Last observation about the trumpets. The trumpets are God's mercy. I know. I already know. You're in church, so you won't say it out loud, but I know what you're thinking. You're like, mercy? Where? Well, how? The trumpets are God's mercy. It is God's judgment. They are God's judgment, but they're also God's mercy. Matt, where do you see that, bro? Because I'm having a hard time. It's Father's Day. I'm about to have to go have a family lunch after this, and my crazy uncle's going to talk to me about end times prophecy stuff, and how do I even get to mercy from this? I get it. For John, numbers have a lot of meaning. A lot of meaning. And John, as this vision is unfolding for John, he gives us some insight. If you remember our chart of the trumpets, a third of the world is burned, a third of the waters become bloodied, a third of the waters become poisoned, a third of the world goes dark, a third of mankind is destroyed. The demons that get released from the pit of hell are only allowed to do so for 5 months. What Jesus is communicating to John through the revelation is that these are fractional experiences of what could be the full. These are God's restrained judgments. A third, a third, a third, a third, 5 months. These are fractional when it could be 100%, 100%, 100%, 100%. This is God Almighty. He has every right to judge. And even as the trumpets are sounding and the alarms are ringing, God restrains his full judgment and only fractional judgment comes. Fractional experiences happen. One third, one third, one third, one third. And I know we focus on that. And it's like, man, a third, if this is literal and a third of people die, that's like 2.something billion people right there. Even if it's not literal and it's more symbolic than that, it's still a high death toll. But two-thirds are left, and two-thirds of the water are clean, and two-thirds of the world is okay, and two-thirds are not bloodied. And I, man, you can't, this is not like light reading. You can't just be like, oh, well then, I mean, one-third's not that bad. It is still devastating, but it's a glimpse into God's mercy because it could have been the full extent. The trumpets show God's mercy. It's restrained judgments. Again, they're an invitation into salvation, fractional judgments, so that people will hear the alarms and wake up and repent. And so the question becomes, do the people repent after the sixth trumpets? Do they repent? The answer? Yeah, you're like, I don't want to say anything right now, okay? Anything out loud. I feel like Revelation is a trap, trick question every time. The answer is no, they do not repent. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, so the two-thirds left, did not repent of their works, of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons. The very things destroying them, by the way. The very things let loose to kill them, they still worshiped. And idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of the murders or sorceries or sexual immorality, nor their thefts. People do not repent. This is John's way of saying they became like the idols they worshiped. The idols that are blind and deaf and immobile. The people became blind and deaf and frozen in their worship. They do not repent. So we're kind of left with two big questions at this point in the process. Question one is, what is the role of the church in all of this? Like, what those who follow the way of the Lamb, what's the role of the church? Question two is, will there ever be anything that actually leads people to repentance? Well, we kind of know the answer to that because we read in chapter 11 that 9/10 of the city give glory to God. They do eventually repent. So we know that massive revival will come, is coming. Okay, how? It has to do with the role of the church. It's the passage we read to begin with. So it's a good thing they gave me 40 minutes because I'm not pressed for time at all right now, by the way. That's a joke. Okay, here we go. Two witnesses. This is what we read in the beginning. I'm just gonna give us some insights here. The two witnesses. Is this literal? Are there two people that just start walking around preaching? Is this symbolic for something else? John sees this vision. Jesus raises up two witnesses. They get to preach. They get to prophesy, which is foretell the word of God. They get to preach for 3.5 years. They are clothed in sackcloth. Sackcloth, the end of verse 3 there in chapter 11. Sackcloth is imagery. In the Old Testament, if you were repenting of your sin, you wore sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth is imagery of a humble heart repenting before a holy God. And then verse 4, John says, these are the two olive trees. Oh, wait a minute. So is it trees walking around? Is this like Lord of the Rings ints, like walking, like what's going on here? Not a lot of Tolkien fans in the room. That's okay, all right, it's okay. You're missing out. There's two olive trees. Wait, but all of a sudden there are two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. So what is John seeing? These are symbolic descriptions. So I'm gonna try to summarize all of this. John sees two witnesses get risen up by Jesus to preach, to prophesy for 3.5 years, 1,260 days, it says. They're clothed in sackcloth. He sees them as olive trees. He sees them as lampstands. They preach. People who hear their preaching, it is a burden to them to hear, and so eventually they're murdered. They're left in the street, not for 3.5 years, but for 3.5 days. This was a very dishonoring thing. And then after those 3.5 days, God raises them up, calls them back into heaven. And when people see this, 1/10 of the city gets destroyed, but 9/10 give glory to God, which, and I know you're like, oh man, more numbers, more fractions. Again, John assumes that we just know the Old Testament like crazy. In the Old Testament, when God's judgment would come, typically 9/10 of a city would get destroyed and 1/10 would repent. And here's the complete opposite. 9/10 repent. And 1/10 gets destroyed. Again, it's showing us the deeper meaning of this is God's mercy is on display. He's restraining his full wrath. He's giving opportunities into salvation. The trumpets are blowing because he wants to give more time so that more people come into the way of the Lamb. So all of this being combined, all right, what's the lampstand? What are the lampstands about? What is this? Well, in the beginning of the book, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, Jesus Christ himself says, the lampstands represent my churches, the seven churches to begin the book. So Jesus kind of connects the dots. Lampstands, symbol for churches, the light of the world, going back to some of his teaching in the book of Matthew, let your light shine before men. So the lampstand seems to be the church. Okay, what about the olive trees? What's going on there? Okay, great question. In the Old Testament, if you were anointed by God, if you were anointed like a king would have been or a priest, you were anointed with olive oil, which was symbolic in the Old Testament to show that the Spirit of God has been poured out on you. And so the olive trees here are pointing us to the fact that they are covered and filled with the presence of the Spirit. All right, what about clothed in sackcloth? That's weird, man. That sounds a little itchy. Like, what's going on here? Sackcloth is symbolic for repentance and a humble heart before a holy God. And so they are clothed in repentance as they preach and witness to Jesus Christ himself. And so what John is seeing is this, that after the trumpets 1-6, he sees two witnesses and they walk around, and this seems to be representative of the church herself, and she's clothed in repentance of God, and her light is shining before men, and she's forth telling and witnessing to the Lamb of God, and she's filled with his presence, and she's faithful in her witness. And does she struggle and suffer? Yes. In fact, she's killed. We already know the church gets killed because there's martyrs in heaven. But what we also see is she comes back. The two witnesses come back, and Jesus brings them back, which is this idea of like nothing can fully kill the bride of Christ. She will come back again and again and again, which was first seen in the tomb itself when Jesus resurrected. And so what the two witnesses, this chapter is trying to communicate to us in this interlude between trumpet 6 and trumpet 7 is the role of the church. Here it is. The church, this is our role. It is the humble, broken over our own sin, repentant, spirit-covered, light shining bright in the darkness, willingness to lay down our own life as we faithfully preach about the ways of the Lamb that God will use to revive and restore and bring revival to those who have not repented yet. Do the judgments bring repentance? No, it's the judgments plus the bride of Christ being faithful in their witness, covered in repentance, humble lights of the world, filled with the Holy Spirit, faithfully witnessing to the ways of the Lamb, even a willingness to lay down our life. It is the combination of those two things that will ultimately lead to revival like we've never seen before. Is their posture proud and judgmental and angry? No, they're covered in sackcloth. They're covered in the humbleness of being broken for their own sin first. And so their posture is a tear-stained posture of judgment, not pride. And it is this that leads to revival. And then the seventh angel blows his trumpet, and the kingdom of God becomes the kingdom of the world forever and ever. This seems to be the final culmination of God's judgments here, heaven fully coming. And notice in the Hallelujah chorus in verse 11 of chapter 11, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was. This is the first time that there's not also who is to come. This seems to be the final culmination of history right here, that the role of the bride in being willing to lay down her life in humble, faithful witness to Jesus will bring the revival necessary to usher in the kingdom of God and widespread repentance on earth. The God who was and who is, his kingdom has fully come. That's the role of the church in the last days. So what do we do? Well, let me keep us in the big picture here. Let me like zoom out. What do we do? Hold fast to Jesus. That's what we do. If somehow you're in the room today, you visited this morning, you didn't know what you were getting into, sorry, man, but you visited for the first time, or you're watching online or whatever, and you realize like, dude, I don't think I know the Lamb. Maybe church has been a ritual for you. You come on Sundays, maybe a few times a year, but it's not like you don't know the Lamb. My advice to you would be hold to Jesus. Call on the name of the Lamb. Hold fast to Jesus. If you're in the room and you know the Lamb and you've been covered by the blood of the Lamb and you've been sealed, we don't just get to sit on our hands. Like, we have a role as well. Our role is faithful witnessing to the Lamb through humility and repentance of our own, being lights in the world, filled with the Spirit, even willingness to lay down our life. So big picture, what do we do with that? We hold fast to the Lamb. We hold fast to Jesus. My two sons love to work out with me. I've got a little gym in my garage, and they love to work out with me. And we started a competition a few months ago of who could dead hang the longest. You guys know what dead hanging is? It's where you just grab the bar above you and you just hang there, feet off the ground. You don't engage any other muscles. It's just grip strength. It's your full body weight on your fingers. Who could dead hang the longest? Now, that may not sound very hard, but try it. Try it. My 8-year-old is above 2.5 minutes. If you've ever done it, you realize right there, oh, I'm humbled by that. Like, yeah, I am too. My 8-year-old is hitting 2.5 minutes. My 5-year-old is just under 2 minutes. They can get it. And it's so cute because when they come in the garage, they'll do it together and one will time the other and they've got like a little stopwatch and one will just grab and feed off and he's hanging there and man, you can see the fatigue and his hands are starting to ache and the lactic acid's building up and the other will start to encourage him. No, hang on, just a little longer. You're almost there. You've almost beat your record. You almost got it. And then they'll switch places and do it all again. And when the one is getting fatigued, it's like, no, not yet, just a little longer. What do? With what we read, we hold fast to Christ. We come and we grab Christ. And man, it may feel like I just can't hang on any longer. And God is saying, just a little bit longer. Tighten your grip. Your fingers are starting to stretch out. I'm about to slip. No, grab on, hang on, just a little longer. Hold fast to Christ. Cling to him with sheer desperation and strength you didn't even know you had. In utter humility, grab onto Jesus and cling and hang on to the Lamb who is victorious. It is the paradox of the kingdom that we find victory through death, and Jesus modeled it first. Through death, he defeated death. Victory came through surrender, not strength. Jesus has turned the world on its head, and he invites his bride to do the same. So let us hold fast to the Lamb. Hold fast to Jesus.
The Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to this episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org. Follow us on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week, and we'll see you next time.